Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Back to 3 John. We're working our way through it, verse by verse, word by word, concept by concept, trying to learn all that the Holy Spirit has put in the shortest epistle in the Bible, the shortest book in the Bible, and certainly the shortest epistle in the New Testament, and yet one that is loaded with significant truth that will guide us, direct us, grow us, encourage us, and help us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we return now to 3 John, and we're talking about the reason for John's joy. He mentions in verse 3, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, Gaius, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. When the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And the reason for John's joy was that traveling Christians, traveling evangelists, traveling missionaries, we might call them today, traveling gospel workers, had traveled to Gaius and had been lodged in his home, because that's what Gaius did. That's one of the things he did to serve the Lord, was provided hospitality for traveling workers, Christian workers. And they had stayed in his home, and they had observed his life and had no doubt observed his family. We don't know anything really about his family in terms of wife and children, but if he had a home large enough to provide lodging and food for more than one person, he must have had a home of some size, and that would indicate that he was a person of some substance, which would indicate that his household would probably have included a lot of individuals, because in that day, servants and extended family members who often lived in the home were considered all part of the family. And so they observed all of this. They observed that family and how Gaius related to all these people and how he lived out the truth of God's word in his home as well as in his church. And they went back and reported that to the church at Ephesus, and it just filled John with tremendous joy. That's what made John happy, if you want to use a more superficial term, happy, rather than a more substantive term, joy. But what was it that filled John's heart with joy? To hear the report that people that he was exercising spiritual oversight for were walking in the truth, lives filled with truth, walking in truth. That's what made him excited. What excites you? That's what filled him with joy. What fills you with joy? I pause at this point and welcome you to the Thursday, June 27 edition of the Beacon broadcast, and thank those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Well, the power of truth is referred to here because the brethren reported this. "I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." The power of truth is a power to indwell, a truth that is in you, implanted in you. That's the problem with a lot of people who call themselves Christians but don't show much evidence of the power of truth in their lives. It's because evidently the truth has not been implanted in them. But dear friends, it is implanted in all of God's true children. It is implanted. It has the power to indwell. It has the power to control. It was implanted, and therefore, in the life of Gaius, it was manifested by his walking in truth. And the word you is emphatic in the Greek. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. How excited John was about this truth that was manifesting itself in such a powerful way in the life of Gaius. But you see, walking in truth is the inevitable consequence of truth implanted, and it is the necessary evidence of truth implanted. Do you hear me? I'll say it again and explain it. Truth manifested is the inevitable consequence of truth implanted. You see the sequence here. They testify to the truth that is in you, truth implanted, just as you walk in the truth, truth manifested. And truth manifested is the inevitable consequence of truth implanted. If the truth has been implanted within you, if it is the living Word of God, the Word of God, which is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If that's what is in you, the living Word of God, then it is inevitable that it will be seen in your life. Truth manifested is the inevitable consequence of truth implanted, and similar to it, but a slightly different perspective on the same truth, it is the necessary evidence of truth implanted. Don't tell me that you are a child of God if you are not walking in the truth. You say, well, it's possible to be a Christian and not be a very obedient one. Is it possible to be a Christian and one that is not fervently serving the Lord and is maybe not earning rewards, but I have eternal life. I've been born again. I'm going to heaven. Maybe I will grant. Certainly not everybody shows the same level of the power of truth in their lives, and I will grant that it's possible for a person to be a true child of God and a very weak one. But I want to tell you, if there's not real evidence of the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, directing your life, controlling your life, showing itself in your life in such a way that people can see that you are a person of the truth, if that's not true of you, your claim to the new birth is a very weak one, a very weak one. And I'd hate to die with a profession of faith that weak, because the weakness of it may indicate the absence of it. The only way you can be sure that you have been born again is by the evidence of the implanted truth working its way out in your life. And all of this comes then to the point of the centrality of truth, which is emphasized in verse 4. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy. We already know from what he previously said that the evidence of truth working its way out of the lives of his children, his spiritual children, was a source of great joy. But now John ratchets that up one step higher and says, I have no greater joy than this. That's the highest priority, not just an important area of my life. Your walking in truth is not just one of many things that gives me joy, But it is the thing that gives me the greatest joy. I have no greater joy than this. No other condition made John more joyful than the condition of seeing his children walking in truth, proving that they have truly been born again, and that the truth of God has indeed been implanted within them because the fruit of it is seen in their lives. Nothing material brought John as much joy as that. What brings you the greatest joy? A new automobile? Or the evidence of your children walking in truth? To those of you who are parents. Now, I actually know the answer to that question if you are a true child of God. The joy of a new automobile can't begin to compare with the joy of seeing your children walking in truth. If that's not the case, then your own profession of faith is a weak one. Something's really wrong. But perhaps, going back to this theme of joy, perhaps our joy is weaker than it ought to be because our love of truth is weaker than it ought to be. Knock, knock. Yoo-hoo. Perhaps our experience of joy is weaker than we wish it was because our love of truth is weaker than it ought to be. But dear friends, the path to joy does not focus on joy. The path to joy must focus upon truth. For, I read these verses again, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I've said it before, I say it again. There's a great emphasis in our day upon what is generally called happiness. I hear parents saying, what I want for my children more than anything else is that they be happy. And I hear people saying that about themselves. Are you really happy? Well, yes, I think I'm happy. And no, I'm not happy, and I need to find out how to be happy. I need to find some me time. I need to do some things for myself so that I could be happy. And I want to tell you that the path to joy, and I'll revert to that biblical term rather than the more superficial term happiness, but the path to joy is not to focus on joy, but to focus upon truth. I remember hearing a wise old preacher many years ago. He's been with the Lord, I think he died in 1968, so this goes back quite a ways, but I used to hear him say that happiness is something you stumble over on the road of duty. You think about that. Happiness is not something you achieve by seeking happiness. Happiness is something you stumble over on the road to duty. Have you ever thought of it that way? But that's the truth. The happiest people I know, or the most joyful people I know, are the people who are committed to truth, committed to responsible Christian living, committed to serving Christ. They know what it is that they are to do to serve Christ. They've been saved long enough and mature enough to know what that is. They give themselves to it wholeheartedly, and guess what? They're happy. Their lives are filled with joy. It doesn't mean they don't have any sorrows mixed in, but they're happy. They're not happy because they pursued happiness. They're happy because they pursued truth. They're happy because they pursued obedience. They're happy because they pursued Christ and serving Him, giving their lives to Him completely. And in doing that, they stumbled over joy. How about that? Some of you need to try that. May God help you. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.